Last week, we finished our discussion, we started our discussion of Parshat Va'ira. And now we're going to shift gears. We talked about last time the introductory paragraph, how the introduction of the name Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei to start off the process of the redemption. And now we're going to dive into the really kind of bulk of the rest of Parshat Va'ira, which is the Makot, the plagues which hit Egypt. Now, how do we refer to normally, how do we refer to the Makot? Not just the Makot, you refer to them as the?
Ten plagues
or Aseret HaMakot, right? And as we often point out here in Shir, those things tend to not happen by accident, both in terms of their number and in terms of their name. Meaning, if we call the Aseret HaMakot the Aseret HaMakot, then the fact that there are 10 of them must be significant. Now, it has to be significant intrinsically in the fact that there are 10. There didn't have to be 10. There could have been 5. There could have been 8. There could have been 12. There could have been 30. There could have been as many as HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. But the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that God specifically chooses 10 makot, means that it's important. And that's only emphasized by the fact that we refer to it as the Aseret HaMakot, meaning it gets into the name of how we refer to them. The Aseret HaMakot. So the first thing that I want to really spend time together working through today is, what is the meaning of the fact that there are 10 makot? Why is it significant that there are 10 of them? How does that actually play out? So one of the tools that we often use when we want to understand the nature of something is to look at other instances where that comes up. What are other times where we see systems of 10 that come up as systems of 10? Excellent. We have the Aseret HaDibrot, right? We have the Ten Commandments. We have already the Aseret HaMakot. Sarah.
The 10 generations between Abraham and Noah and Abraham.
Excellent. The 10 generations between from Adam to Noach and from Noach until Abraham.
Ten tests
of Abraham Avinu. Excellent. Those are all going to play in also. There's one really, really big one that's going to fit on this list. While those other ones are definitely going to play in as well and have to be understood in that context as well, there's one more that really kind of perhaps is even bigger than the other two. More central than the other two. More core, more root than the other two. Margalit.
Shuva
is super important. But I thought that would kind of push us in a little bit of a direction. But yes. Yeah.
Asara Mamarot.
The world being created in 10 sayings. The Asara Mamarot, in which the world is created. Now, it's not to belittle that the other points, that the other times where 10 comes up that anybody else said. Meaning, whatever we are going to use to unify these things also has to be applied to any other time that 10 appears in Judaism. Whether it's the Aseret Mitzvah, 10 generations from Avram to Noach, the 10 tests of Avram Avinu, for sure. Those are all things which are going to need to fit into that paradigm. But in terms of the kind of three biggest ones that we're going to take a look at here are going to be the Asara Ma'amarot, which the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot tells us about. Asara Ma'amarot Nivra Ha'olam, in 10 sayings did God create the world. Right, we dignify that every single morning in Pesukei Dezimra, Baruch She'amar V'haya Ha'olam, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world through Amira, through speaking. The Asara Ma'amarot, the Aseret HaMakot, which is what we're dealing with here in our Parshot, there are definitely 10. Sukkim testify to that. And perhaps even more explicitly testify to the fact that there are Aseret HaDibrot, the ten sayings by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us, or which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us from Har Sinai, as the Aseret HaDibrot. We'll deal with that when we get to Parshat Yitro. Tov. Now the question is, in what way are these systems parallel? Why are these things all being grouped together at all? Meaning, even taking away the ten piece, the dibrot, the makot, the ma'amarot, the way in which God creates the world, the way in which God destroys Egypt and brings us out as a people, the 10 things that God gives us as seemingly the most fundamental or the most encompassing ways by which to look at the Torah, are there any parallels in these things? So who is, and we've mentioned this in Shir in the past, who in Jewish history is the personality who best identifies with, helps us understand the concept of numbers and the meaning of numbers in Torah? We mentioned him multiple times last year when we dealt with numbers. Clearly not enough times. The Maharal Prague. Right? Ring the bell?
Yes.
The Maharal Prague. If you look through his Svarim, I've not yet seen, although I imagine at some point it will happen, a book which just gathers together his explanation of every single number in Judaism, and I sort of kind of wish somebody would do it already. But scattered throughout his tremendous works, his many works, and they're very deep, they're very dense, they're very beautiful, of the Maharal, he goes and explains the note, meaning, and not in a systematic way, wherever it comes up, he discusses it, the meaning of specific numbers, and their centrality to Judaism, and very often linking together the disparate elements and saying these are all the ways in which these things are bound together. And the Maharal gives an unbelievable explanation, or rather reveals an incredible parallel within all of these three systems. He says they're in fact exactly parallel one another. Exactly parallel one another. What's the first one of the Asara Ma'amarot? What's the first one of the 10 sayings that created the world? Loud?
Vayhi
Or. So parts of Chazal will agree with you, and parts of Chazal will disagree with you. It's actually two shitot. One shita says, yes, the first time it says, Vayomer Elokim Yihi Or. Vayhi Or is the first saying in the Asara Ma'amarot. However, says the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, that's impossible. There are some who maintain. But the Gemara Rosh Hashanah says that's impossible. How can that be? Hai ninhu, vayomer debreshit tishahavu. It only says vayomer 9 times. So if we have a Mishnah in Pirkei Avot, Perekei Mishnah Aleph, which says that there are asara ma'amarot, but if you actually look at the text, it only says vayomer 9 times, somebody should have taught the Tanaim to count better. Right? No, so what is that? Where do they find 10? Where do they find 10 from? What's the 10th ma'amar? Concludes the Gemara. This is in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Bet Amud Aleph. Dibireshit nami ma'amarhu. Bireshit is also a ma'amar. Bireshit bara Elokim itself is considered one of the 10 ma'amarot according to the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. We have one here is going to be Bireshit. And that's going to be connected what's in the Aseret HaDibrot? What? It's going to be an Agedah. Anochi. Hashem. Which is interesting. You start to look and see the parallels here. The Reshit is all about the source. The Reshit, the beginning, the origins of all things. What's the source, the origin of all things? Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem. The first one of the Aseret HaDibrot says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God. Is that a commandment or is that a statement? It's a statement of fact. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Is this a statement of creation or is this a fact? Bereshit bara Elokim. Statement of fact. Both indicating that origin and source of all things. If you don't believe Anochi Hashem Elokecha, if there's not that prerequisite, the Aseret HaDibrot are meaningless. If there's not a recognition of the Reshit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being the source, the rest of creation is meaningless and has no source, has no origin. Reshit and Anochi are parallel. If we take it one more further, what's the second one of the Asara Ma'amarot? Sherry.
Vayhi Or.
What's the second one of the Aseret HaDibrot? Lo Yelecha Elohim Acherim Al Panai. Don't let anything block my face. The second Ma'amar is, let there be light. Let light shine down upon the world. What's the flip side of that? Make sure don't do anything to block that supernal light. Lo yelecha Elohim acherim, specifically, al panai. Don't block the Or Hashem. Don't block that Vayihi Or. Make sure that it comes through. Lo yelecha Elohim acherim al panai. And so too, the Maharal will break it down, and one can go through in detail each one of the Aseret HaDibrot. And the Aseret, and the Aseret HaMamarot. What did we leave out? The Makot. What's the first one of the Makot? Dam. Bereshit, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and Dam. Does that fit together?
Depends.
Not
look at it.
Quite. What?
It depends how you look at it.
Say more.
Meaning to say, like, if you look at blood as a source of life and creation, then, okay, it could fit, but if you look at it as death, then it would not.
Okay. So the Maharal would say that you were right on the second side, but that's an interesting way of looking at it. I wonder if it would, if you could actually flip them around and look at it like that. The Maharal says, and we'll get into this more on Wednesday, we'll spend a little bit more time on this. He says that actually what's happening in the process of the Aseret HaMakot, and we'll unpack this next time, is that in the Aseret HaMakot, it's actually flipped. The order is flipped. Why? To be continued. But the order is actually flipped. What is the final chord of the Aseret HaMakot? The death of the firstborn. Makat Bichorot. Now the idea of Bichorah is something we're going to also talk about, which underlies again and again and again all of Parshat Bo, in which Makat Bichorot appears. It's a big part of Yitziat Mitzrayim. And there's this constant need to nullify any Bichor that exists other than, well, not other than, to any Bichor that exists in this world, to emphasize the fact that while a Bichor indicates that it's the origin, it's the first, it's the origin of something, what's the true origin of all things? Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Bereshit Bara Elokim. It's the nullification of the Bechor on the negative side. It's the destruction of the Bechorah in Mitzrayim. What's the second to last Makkah? No, it's not. And Makat Choshech is perhaps the most easily seen how it parallels Vayihi Or. The opposite side, the negative side of that is going to be the Makat of Choshech, in which, by the way, there's Choshech for the Mitzrim, but for the Jews, there's light. Clearly dealing again with issues of light, clarity, seeing. But these processes are all continuously paralleling each other. Why does the process of Makat Bechorot get flipped? We'll come back to. But all of these systems of ten are very distinctly, definitively paralleling each other. There's one more system of ten that we didn't mention that is perhaps a backdrop to all of these. Yeah?
There's the ten thing that was created before.
Yes, and all of this, again, all the tens are going to be lined up. But one system that stands in the backdrop of all of these things is there's a concept of having within deeper sources in Chazal the 10 Sfirot or the 10 Midot. The 10 Sfirot or the 10 Midot. The 10 Sfirot, listen very carefully, are the 10 created Midot through which God guides His world. Does that sound familiar?
Mm-hmm.
To everyone?
That's
right. The 10 Midot by which the 10 created Midot by which God guides His world. Why does that sound familiar? Not a trick question. We always talk about the Midot. And we always write them out. So somebody please
are usually only seven.
Thank you, Sherry. Up until now, we've been consistently talking about seven midot, and we've been avoiding the word sfirot. So is it seven, or is it ten?
Ten.
Yes, or?
Both.
Right.
Yeah.
Or both. The ten sfirot are the bigger context of which the seven midot are a part of. And these ten sfirot, or ten midot, are divided into two different categories. To put it incredibly simply, which fits into everything we've learned previously, we have the upper three and the lower seven. And so up until now, we've been discussing the lower seven as the system in which they are, the legitimate system in which they are, which starts off with Avraham Avinu, starts off with Chesed, starts off with Kael. So for all of these things, but we have the lower seven, Chesed, Gevura, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, and Malchut. Right? All connected by and brought into the world, fixed into the world, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, and David. The different names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu we talked about last time associated with each one, which are bringing out the expressions of each one. Different parts of the body upon which they're associated. But there are also an upper three sfirot. These upper three are where the midot draw their roots from. They draw their origins. The origins, the roots of these seven midot are coming from the upper three. Their source is going to come from the upper three. There are two different ways of enumerating the upper three, which we're not going to get into right now. Anybody familiar with either one of the ways that the upper three are organized or called? Excellent. One of them is Chochma, Bina, and Da'at, following the same structure, but they're just going to exist on a level higher, three above. Chochma, Bina, and Da'at. As an aside, who gets their name from these upper three sfirot?
Chabad
is an acronym for the first three letters of each of those upper three sfirot. And much of Chabad Chassidut will spend its time discussing and figuring out explaining what these upper three sfirot are all about. Chochma Bina Da'at. Another way of doing it is to somehow Da'at falls behind. It's still there, but it's not manifest. And Keter comes in its place, but either way, maintaining a system of ten, meaning nobody argues with the structure of ten. Question is Da'at manifest and overt, or is Da'at in the background? But there's an upper three. Keter, Chochma, Bina, or Chochma, Bina, and Da'at. Now, if we're talking about the Zayin Midot versus the Ten Sfirot, one of the reasons that we would make that distinction is because these are very different from these. The lower seven are very different from the upper three. Would it be fair to categorize the lower seven as Midot? Is Chesed a Midah? Is Gvura Amida? Yes, no, maybe?
Yes.
Is Chochma Amida? The attribute of intelligence, knowledge? They're not exactly Midot. That's what brings into the system of Sfirot. It's what gives it its other name. The upper three are more associated with the mind or the brain, which, as an aside, makes a tremendous amount of sense. Nobody ever stopped to ask, when we associate every single one of these midot with a part of the body, anybody ever wonder where the head went?
Yeah.
Right? Right arm, left arm, torso, right leg, left leg, reproductive organ, whatever malchut is for a different time. Right? There's this whole lower part of the body that's clearly being represented, and we spent so much time talking about chesed is the right hand, gvura is the left hand. We spent shiurim talking about how by Yaakov, how the spine, the ladder, the spine is going to be Yaakov Avinu. Where's the Rosh? That's all in these upper sfirot, these upper three sfirot, in Chochma, Bina, and Da'at. I've never seen this quoted anywhere, but that doesn't mean anything at all. I'm not nowhere. I have a masorah of certain aspects of Kabbalah from my Rebbeim. I strongly suspect this to be the case. We always say that everything has to be rooted in a verse. What's the verse that gives us the lower seven midot? L'cha Hashem, let's say it together. L'cha Hashem Agdula, V'agivura, V'atiferet, V'anetzach, V'ahod, Ki kol bashemayim v'aretz, L'cha Hashem Amlacha, V'aminasei, L'chol l'rosh. I've always suspected that, in fact, in that verse itself, it's attributed to the upper three spherot. I suspect. I've never seen that written anywhere overtly. But it seems to me odd that it would intentionally go out of its way to mention the Rosh in that Pasuk, which is also identifying the other Midot. B'derech HaEfshar. They're also divided in terms of in what ways they're ruling over the body. Our Midot, our character traits, are the way we manifest ourselves when we feel something, that's how we act. While these are all different parts of the body, if we were to really condense them and give them one seat, one place in which they reside, these are the heart. The seat of the lower seven is the heart. The heart is the source of our midot. The mind is the source of the upper three, creating this mind and heart duality, or mind and the heart needing to be synchronized with each other. Without going into it too much now, our perception of the world, the way we see the world, our perception is going to inform the way in which we interact with the world. Our perception of the world is going to be help define the way we react to the world. So my goal is to be totally in charge of all of my midot. In the same way God intentionally guides his world through the seven midot, we're supposed to be ruling our own internal world by having control over our seven midot. But what informs us about how to guide that world, even if we're in control, is the perception that we have. That comes from the mind, that comes from the moach. The perception that we have defines how we choose to rule our own internal world, should we do so properly. Questions, thoughts, comments? Yeah. Bina means, usually is translated as understanding. It's still within the realm of comprehension and the mind versus how we would act with the world. Now, to bring everything home, what in our parshiot would in and of itself hint to this very breakdown of an upper three and a lower seven?
Marsha is the first three, Makud, and then the rest of them are in the next portion.
Tov, as Sherry's hand and Marissa's mouth both said, Sherry nodded with you the whole time, that the breakdown of the Parshiot themselves indicates such a breakdown. You know, it's an amazing thing. We've hopefully, even by this point, even people who just started this semester, but especially if you were here with us last year, every single parsha is meaningful. The way that it's broken down is intentional. We talked about in our opening shiurim that the name is the underlying theme and thread of the entire parsha. It's all one unit. It all has one identity. In which case, if you're going to have a system of 10 makot, all 10 makot should be in one parsha. And a claim of something as ridiculous as, well, there wasn't enough space and the parsha was already too long, is just that. It's ridiculous. There is clearly an intentional breakdown on the level of the parshiot themselves, where Parshat Va'era contains only the first seven, which if we flip the order is going to represent the lower seven. And Parshat Bo is going to contain the last three, which is going to be connected the upper three. But the breakdown of the parshiot themselves indicate that. Also something which I've never seen written or said explicitly, but I think the name of the parsha also indicates that. What's the name of the next parsha? Which is Gematria? Three. Now that could be just because there's only three makot there, but also indicating that on some level, that essence of the three is going to be central to it. B'derech HaEfshar. So we have this breakdown of the seven and the three, and we'll come back to the three, which is why we'll also come back to the reversed order on Wednesday, where we're going to start Parshat Bo on Wednesday. In the concluding time that we have, what I want to do is look at a theme that comes up throughout these makot as they appear in the end of Parshat Va'ira, or the bulk of Parshat Va'ira. During the makot, HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually says the reason for the makot. On 5 distinct occasions throughout the rest of Parshat Va'ira. I want to go through them with you very quickly and tie them together to just conclude this piece for now. If you take a look in your Chumashim, follow with me inside. We have 5 times, 5 times which it says either lema'an, ba'avor, ki. It gives the reason why the makot are happening. As an introduction to the makot in Perek Zayin, Pasuk Yed Zayin. Ko amar Hashem, bizot teida ki ani Hashem. Through these makot, you will know that I am God. Who is you will know? Mitzrayim. Perhaps more specifically, Paro, who represents Mitzrayim. Why does he need to know? Because in Parshas Mot he said, I don't know who this God is. So God's like, okay, I'll tell you. I'm happy to let you know. You're going to regret having asked the question, but I'm happy to let you know who I am. If you don't have to look inside, but in Perakei Pasuk Bet, when Moshe Rabbeinu first goes to Paro in the end of Parshat Shmot, Paro responds, "Vayoma Paro, Mi Hashem Asher Ashma B'Kolo? Who is this Hashem that I'm going to listen to his voice? Lishalach et Yisrael to set out his people. Lo Yadati et Hashem. I don't know God. Lo Yadati et Hashem." So God says, "Lo Yadati et Hashem. You don't know who God is. I'll show you exactly who I am." So in the introduction to the Makot, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kol Amar Hashem, Bezot Teida Ki Ani Hashem. Next time, Perechet Pasuk Vav, Vayomer Lemachar, Vayomer Kidvarecha, Lema'an Teida Ki Ein Kashem Elokeinu. Not only am I Hashem, there is none like me, says God. There is no other God like me. I am the only God that there is. Now listen very carefully to the theme that keeps repeating itself in the next 3 explanations for the makot. Perek chet pasuk yud chet. V'yifliti bayom ahu et eretz goshen, asher ami omer aleha livilti hayot sham arov, lema'an teida, ki ani Hashem bekerev haaretz. In order that you should know that I am God in the midst of the land. Still clearly focusing on the concept of lema'an teida ki ani Hashem. Ki ani Hashem bekerev haaretz. Perek Tet, Pasuk Yudalid. Ki bapam azot, ani sholeach et kol magefotai el libcha, uvavadecha uveamecha, ba'avor teida, same theme here, ki ein kamoni bechol haaretz. There's nobody like me in all of the land. Last one, not bad, 5 out of 7. Next one, Perek Tet, Pasuk Chav Tet. Vayomer elav Moshe, kitzeiti et ha'ir, efros et kapai, el Hashem, hakolot yechtalun vabarad, lo ye'od, lema'an teida, ki lahashem ha'aretz. Other than the concept of the fact, clearly bringing home the point, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only God that there is, what's the other aspect that's actually being emphasized here?
Aretz.
Excellent, aretz. Right? In case you missed it, especially in the last 3. Leman tidaki ani Hashem bekerev haaretz. Ba'avor tidaki ein kamoni bechol haaretz. Leman tidaki la'Hashem haaretz. There's a distinct emphasis on the fact that God is the God within the land. Hashem rules the land. Hashem is ruling the aretz. Why is this a message that needs to be brought home for the Egyptian people in particular?
Because they look into the sky for their astrology stuff.
They do? But in fact, they spend most of their time looking in the opposite direction. They worship the Nile and they worship the ground. They turn to astrology, perhaps, for sorcery. But they worship the land. They worship the Nile and they worship the land. Like we've quoted before, like in Parshat Ekev, where it contrasts Eretz Yisrael and Eretz Mitzrayim. Three psukim that really create that dichotomy that we've quoted in the past. Ki ha'aretz asher ata v'Hashem l'rishta lo ke'aretz Mitzrayim hi asher yatzata misham asher tizra'at zeracha v'yishkita b'ra'avcha gani arak. Eretz Mitzrayim is a place where you are watering it, you're planting it, and you're watering it with your legs. You're looking at the ground, as opposed to Eretz Yisrael. The land of Israel is the land where you look up to the heavens and you look toward the sky for rain for sustenance. Meaning, coming back to the flip side of your point, do you look down at the ground and assume that that's where your life and your sustenance is coming from? Or do you assume that your sustenance and your life is coming from a higher source? That it's coming from the rain, that it's coming from above, that it's coming from Shemayim? Or coming back to our original themes in Parshat Shemot, is the goal the Shemayim or the Aretz? Shemayim Yilashon Shem, Shemot. And we talked about all of that in the Parshat Shemot Shirim. But Eretz Yisrael is focused on the Aretz. And there's an intentional pushing here from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make it clear to the Egyptians that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only God. He's the only God below, and he's also going to be the only God up above. But he's the only God below as well, because there is only one God. Or as he says before, the man tidak ki ein ka Hashem Elokeinu. There's nobody like Hashem Elokeinu, which, without getting into the details of the names, Hashem Yudkevavki, the beyond, name that HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's beyond, Elokeinu is in this world. There's nobody like that. Ein ka Hashem Elokeinu. If we're proving that God rules on all levels down below, also, which midot then would we be focusing on? The lower midot. The seven makot, first seven makot, connected the lower seven midot, showing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rules on all levels, on all lower levels of being, on a more metaphorical level, that he rules within the earth on a more literal level, proving to the Egyptians that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has rulership in this world. With that as a preface, next time we'll switch gears, jump into Parshat Bo, and talk about what's happening with the upper three midot, the first three makot, why the order is switched, and as we move into the higher or deeper realms, within all of those systems, the dibrot, the mamarot, and particularly the makot, will bring this whole discussion hopefully to a more concrete closure as we bring the two parts of the lower and the upper together to create the system of ten. Okay, to be continued on Wednesday.